easier to remember when you don't have everything else to
focus on. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. It's funny. When you were chair, I was always reminding you, and now I'm chair, and I'm forgetting. Remind me. So. Okay, so now we are being recorded. I will call the meeting to order at 5:31 Pacific time. We will take roll. Dave Pawson is me. I am present. Kim Laird?
Present.
Tom Wall?
Present.
Aaron Stevens?
Present.
Lloyd Timberlake?
Present.
Scott Krause?
Present.
Nathan Wakefield?
Present.
Mike Sullivan, we think, is absent. Okay. Martin Frost? Okay. And Sandy Brown?
Here.
Excellent. Okay. Okay, hopefully you all got to see the agenda. It got sent out a little later than I would have liked, but it was sent out last night. Will anyone move to approve the agenda?
I'll make the motion.
That's Aaron, correct?
I'll second.
Kim. Wow, Kim, you get to second things, too.
I know, I get to make motions and all.
Yeah, how about
I'm excited.
That? And we will vote on the approval of the agenda. Yes, sure. Would anyone like to discuss the agenda? That's not a lot of discussion. Okay. In terms of vote, does anyone object to the agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. The agenda is approved unanimously. Thank you. Okay. This is where we get to the approval of minutes. This is painful, but we're starting to make some progress. So it sounds like we found the May minutes. They have been approved. We just need to get them up on the website. We have the June minutes, and I think we're pretty sure that they got approved in Winston-Salem. Does anyone remember that for sure?
Let me go and grab my papers.
Okay.
Because I know I have it written down what we did there. So.
Cool.
I feel like we might have done that.
It up.
There was an awful lot going on.
Yeah.
Right. The whole July thing in general is messy right now, which is why it's been hard to confirm that the June ones were approved.
Right.
And it usually is a mess with the festivals.
This is Sandy. So the May ones were found.
Yep.
And were they approved in June?
Yes.
Okay. And then the June ones, Kim's finding.
Yeah, right, and we're pretty sure we approved them in Winston-Salem.
Well, the Dune ones we have, we just don't remember if we approved them
exactly
at the fest.
Okay. And I do have them because I sent them to you guys. I don't know if they were corrected.
Right, that's the whole trick.
And yes.
Yeah.
Those minutes from June 20th were approved at our meeting on July 18th prior to the AGM. Kevin Axel made the motion, and Aaron Stevens seconded.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And Tom Epstein. So, yes, they were approved.
And, Kim, in the past, how have you gotten those on the website? Do you just get them to David Landown?
Yeah, I just email them to him.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll email them to you. When I, as the minutes every month, I'll email them to you, and then you can have corrections made, and then probably just send them on to David.
Yep, perfect.
Yes, right.
Okay. And for July, we don't have anything to approve because they're scattered to the winds, and we're trying to gather them up and get them to Sandy so that she can give them the love they deserve. Actually, the other thing I didn't mention in the agenda here is there's also the notes for the planning meeting, but that is on the audio conference, so that should be available to you, Sandy, right?
Yeah, and what I'll do is I leave for Tibet next Friday for a month, and I will not be here for the September meeting. Once I return, I'll probably have these minutes for tonight ready for you before I leave for Tibet. But all the other things in June, I probably won't get to until I get home in October. It's early October, but I will get to them eventually.
Okay.
How cool that you're going to Tibet. Have fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really going to love this.
Yeah. Great.
Okay, so that brings us to reports. So here is what I'm hoping. I think people did a really good job of getting them out ahead of time. So if everyone did a good job of reading them ahead of time, then we can spend much more time just asking questions and discussing than reading them out loud over the phone.
Yeah.
So let's see how that goes. Kim sent us an awesome report on festival planning. Did people get to read that?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, Kim, is there anything you wanted to add or any color you wanted to add to it?
There are a lot of possibilities in Bowling Green. I do need to make it really clear, and I think I did in my report, there's going to be a bit of walking to do there.
Yep.
So for some of our older members, I am looking into some sponsorship for them so that we can maybe provide them with a golf cart. For example, Bob Nickerson, he'll never make those walks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we only have one or two maybe, but I'd really like to provide for them if possible. Also considered getting a golf cart for Dina, because if she's staying in the dorms and something happens in the gym that we need her right away, it is quite a walk. I don't know what the response time is of the campus police to help get her over there. So that may be an item I add into the budget later on as one of those miscellaneous items. But other than that, you know, fire away with any questions you have about the report, from the site report, the fest planning, the budget, anything.
This is Dave. I had a handful of things. One of the things I know you and I discussed in Winston-Salem that didn't make it into this report, so I was just curious if you had any updates on the idea of doing better integration with the spinning and flow communities.
Yep, I'm going to be working on that, working on getting AYCO members there, the unicyclists, I get the national unicyclists. They have a pretty big club just outside of Toledo there. So I'm working on getting several groups involved.
Okay.
But, you know, first I wanted to get the site visit done and see what kind of accommodations we have for everyone. Now I'll start seriously working with some other groups to get them there.
And also you did talk about, like, meeting with the fire people and the talk of doing a fire show, and that's a big appeal for sure.
Definitely.
And a must-have for the flow and spinning community.
Yeah, I sent Kevin Axtell a message asking for his input with that. Kelsey from Infinite Works, I've sent her an email as well because she's heavily involved with the fire community. Dave, I have to get the person that you introduced me to, if you could send me his contact information.
Yep.
So that I can get in touch with him.
Yeah.
He'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yep. I will take an action item to do that. Okay. What else was I going to ask you? Oh, so your section on workshops, I was going to mention that one thing I learned this year, there needs to be some space for doing, like, bounce and dance workshops, which actually have a hard floor.
That's going to be difficult at this particular venue. The turf room where I plan on all the workshops being held is absolutely beautiful, but there is no tile anywhere in there for bounce. In the gym, it's a multi-surface, you know, one of those indoor track-type surfaces,
mm-hmm.
or the hardwood. So I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to kind of circumvent that little problem, but I know I need to work on it. Yep.
Yeah, when I went on the site visit with, I guess whenever that was last year,
mm-hmm.
I looked into the whole bounce situation.
Mm-hmm.
There, the back of the multi-surface room, the one of the basketball courts and the track and stuff, there's like an access closet in the back that's really, really pretty big.
Okay.
And the people that I talked to there said that would be fine for letting people bounce. They thought it was really weird, but they seem to think it would work.
Okay.
And dance workshops would probably just be fine on hardwood floor, so bouncing.
Yeah, that
was that who was just speaking? Who was that?
Just Tom.
Tom. Oh, okay. Hey, Tom.
Yep. Hi.
Okay. Thanks, Tom, for that, because I'll talk to Troy about where that is so that I can map everything out.
Beyond that, the good news I was going to tell is if we do something like we did this year, we won't need as many as 8 to 10 workshop rooms. We had just about everything in about 6.
Right.
So you have plenty enough there.
Well, the odd thing about this facility is there are not many rooms off of these two big spaces, and they are open spaces.
Right.
As far as, like, individual smaller rooms, there really isn't much outside of their offices that they're working in. So that's why I know when we first heard back from Tom and Mike on their site visit, we were like, no, do we really need the turf room? But that's going to be a great place for volley club and other things to be set up permanently, as well as workshop area.
Yep. Yeah, without needing individual rooms, I just meant as long as we can kind of pick out
the plan,
spots or so, that's probably fine.
Yeah, the plan is to kind of use cones, different colored cones, to kind of just differentiate spaces for workshops and put like a little flag in them, you know, workshop room A, B, things like that.
I think that's all I had on the FEST report. I did have budget questions. Does anybody else have stuff they wanted to ask about the FEST report?
I had one just kind of general question, which had to do with the parade. I guess I'm not entirely sure how many people actually participated in that event in Rochester and whether or not it would be a good idea to consider other options to the same ends. I mean, assuming that we're trying to get, I guess, our face out in the community a little bit more, whether having a parade that's sparsely attended, if that would look okay, or if we would be more interested in trying to get some, like, workshops into, like, area performing arts groups or something. Just kind of curious as to... Yeah, hearing more about that plan by the parade.
The idea behind the parade is not only to get us into downtown, but also to get our jugglers to come out to the busker competition if we actually go through with that.
Nice.
There are spots for busking in the downtown. Not a whole lot, but there are 3 good sites. And everything's going to kind of shut down in the gym at that point, you know, but people might decide not, they might decide to just stay in the gym and juggle, which is fine. But this will get the jugglers to actually come down. It's to bring us down to the buskers, to bring the people out, you know, in the community and kind of get everybody together in one spot. And then that night, after I still have to confirm everything with the Renegade organizers. If we do start early at the Clavel that night, which is the plan as of right now, that means we would parade down. The busker competition would then take place. There would be time for people to eat downtown. And then we would go to the Clavel for the presentation of the busker awards and for the final night of Renegade.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that that's tied in with something else. I was just kind of wondering, because the parade, for the sake of a parade, seems
In Rochester, it was, like, super rainy right before it happened and not super well-publicized, so I think if it's well-publicized, like, that it's happening and weather permitting, it could be really fun, potentially.
And the other thing about the Clavel that night is, and this is the reason we have to move the time of Renegade up, is they have a world-famous DJ that is there every Friday night. This guy is followed by people all over the world. He's won awards all over the place. It's a standing contract with the Clavel that they have a live radio feed from that facility every Friday night. They're willing to move the time, their start time, a little bit if we're willing to move our start time a little bit. And then the neat thing is, after Renegade, whoever wants to stay there and party can, because it's rock and music and beverages and stuff all night long.
Nice.
Until 2 in the morning.
With the parade, hey, this is Scott. With the parade, if we're going to do something like that where we have parade and then like busking competition and then food and then renegade and then possibly people staying later, I'm a little concerned about what people would do with props, especially if they don't necessarily want to keep them with themselves with them the entire time and the distance between there and the gym. Could we look into some place like a lockbox or a box we can hold props in or something?
Or a back room at the Renegade Place or something?
Yeah.
I was going to say I can talk to Amar at the Clazelle and see if there's a lock room there that our people could have access to get
like
store their
check.
Things. Yeah, a coat check
about
place would work.
Check.
Coat check. Prop check.
I'm actually writing that down.
Prop check.
All right.
Okay. Cool. Any other questions about the fest report?
Transportation. I'm glad, like, it sounds like you're making some really good connections with the rental car places. I think it was somebody, maybe Kyle Johnson, who talked about the potential of finding a car, figuring out like a car system of some kind too, where I know there's Douglas in town there, but people coming through with cars who have extra room or whatever could pick people up or
feel like a ride share. We can open a ride share for them.
Or like where we send, you know, 3 cars per hour or every 2 hours to go just pick up a bunch of people and bring them back or something like that. I know it's a long drive, but they volunteer for 2 hours and that's their shift or something, you know.
Yeah.
And then another idea, too, that came up was just because we don't have that, like you said, the room commitments, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
When I heard that was a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, and I remember that as part of the contract. That was great to hear. And the other idea is the possibility of finding other housing in town. I don't know if that's something we want to look into, but like most regional festivals you know, where they have the couch a housing organizer where they help people who want couch space. Just if we have connections to the locals, it could be a fun option to have too and start bringing into the IJA festivals.
Okay. I mean, that kind of the crash space thing and ride share or whatever usually works itself out, but, you know, I'll start putting some feelers out because we do have a lot of people in that area.
Right. And I know, like, for regional festivals, when they do it, they'll just have a housing coordinator specifically, and I know it's another role to fill, but just ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the fest report?
Oh, yeah. And back to transportation. My one concern with the ride thing, and I know I talked to you about this, Kim, was or the rental car thing. At the festival, it's just international performers who don't have a license and stuff to drive here.
Right.
Figuring out how to get them here without needing to get a car.
Right. And that's why the car service that the manager at the Holiday Inn Express told me about would work for them.
And so that's the car service where they hire a car to drive them over, basically?
Yeah, it's just like the service that we had in Winston-Salem, the van service.
Right. Oh, great.
Yep. Same
Perfect.
Idea.
Okay, cool. Good.
Which worked great for me, by the way, though.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That was wonderful. Yeah, perfect. Okay, good. Good, good.
Okay. We ready to move on to the budget, the fest budget?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the first thing that occurred to me is it looked like you budgeted based on an assumption of 430 attendees. Is that right?
Let me go into it. I thought I had it at 400 even, but it could have been 430. Oh, and I can't get into it. I'm not good at Google Docs. I'm sorry. Just not my kind of thing. All right. Yes, 4:30. Yep,
right.
I forgot
so,
to update it a little bit.
Right, so I think it's possible we would get that many, certainly, but I was a little nervous about, you know, working towards a budget that assumes we would get that many because it's a lot more than we've had in years.
Well, here's how I figured out the budget. I went based on a budget of 300 for IJA members.
Uh-huh.
So I'm figuring right now 300 package plans for IJA members current, okay, or even those who decide to join. The other 130 I'm hoping to get from AYCO and from the unicyclists and from the flow group.
Okay, that's interesting. So, yeah, that seems doable as long as we kind of keep our eye on that and make sure that we don't let that goal fall off the table, because that would be awesome.
And that's another reason why I wanted to add in this holiday special pricing, so that we have we're actually starting to bring money into the FEST funding earlier. In 2010, when I ran the FEST, I did not spend money that had not come in. So I can guarantee the board this. If the money isn't there through registration, things won't be bought. Things won't be purchased. That's not the way I run. I need to know that money is there from the FEST packages, from gym passes being sold, before I start spending. That's just the way I'm comfortable. And just like with any budget like this, it's going to be a working document, so numbers may change. If I see that the registrations aren't going as well as I'm hoping they will, I'm personally hoping for 600 registrations. But if they don't go the way I think, you know, as things start rolling in, if numbers are down, I'm going to revise this budget to show the lower numbers.
Let's do this. You had a Cascade of Stars travel budget of $7,500. I was kind of concerned. That seemed pretty low. Do you have a feel for how many guests you're hoping to bring in?
Keith Nelson is working on that, and I don't know the exact number. The way he and I work together is I give him a number to work with, and then he says, yes, I can do it, or no, I can't. I actually gave him a number of $10,000, but that's housing and travel. And if you add up those two items in the budget, it comes to $10,000 for Cascade of Stars. In 2010, we did Cascade of Stars and Taste of Vaudeville for, it was just under $10,000 it came in at. I know Keith can get us talent. Good talent, world-class talent, at decent prices. I'm not looking at bringing in six or seven people from Europe. The prices are way too high. I am looking at bringing in one or two people from Europe. So, you know, again, if I have to spend a little bit more there, I'll do without something else somewhere along the way.
Right.
I totally agree with that, because the years that we've kept the special guest artists to a smaller number, there's always been a fairly significant in the black running at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say that bringing in a large number of guests doesn't help, doesn't bring in more jugglers. We saw that in Rochester. We spent $20,000, and we didn't get, you know, we could have spent $5,000 and gotten the same number of jugglers, I bet. So one big name, or, you know, one or two, one from Europe, one from U.S., or something like that, I think is all we really need as far as big names go. I mean, obviously we need performers to fill up the show, but we don't need to pay big bucks for lots of people.
Yeah, my hunch is that having names won't bring people in, but not having names can lose you people. Because I talked to an awful lot of people about festivals, and the first thing they say is, oh, who's going to be there? Who's performing?
Yeah.
And if you say nobody or this one guy, then you run the risk that they're going to go, ah, it doesn't sound so good, and decide not to go.
But three great performers. And I know, yeah. Keith Nelson did an amazing job with his performers in Sparks, too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that number from Sparks is very promising, because that was my first festival, and I remember being very impressed with that Cascade of Stars.
Yeah, and with the Taste of Vaudeville was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why before I even volunteered to be Fest director and have my name thrown in the works, I actually talked with Keith, because if he hadn't agreed to be my Cascade of Stars director, I probably would not have put my hat in the ring. He and I have worked on a lot of different events over the last 2 years, or actually since Spark, so it's going on 3 now. And he and I just have a good working relationship, and we work well within budgets with one another. If he needs a couple extra bucks, like I said, if he needs 500 extra bucks, he knows he won't get much more than that out of me. But that I can take out of something else, and no one will ever notice at the best.
And this past year, we used some of the fund towards this particular mm-hmm. goal, which seemed appropriate and fitting and worked out well. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Last quick thing I had, just because the budgeting around housing and food is different in this one, is it more or less the case that in your budget, the housing and the food stuff just sort of balances itself out?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I didn't have anything else I feel like we really need to talk about. Anybody else have questions about the budget? Okay. Thank you, Kim. That was part of why that took a while, is there was a lot of really good information in there. So thank you.
No problem. Thank you. If anyone ever has ideas or you know, comments or questions, please let me know right away, because Tom brought up a couple good things the other day in an email. And he and I are going to work together on some marketing stuff. So I can't move ahead, you know, totally on my own. I need ideas and just support from you guys as well. So if you have ideas, send them to me.
You got it.
Okay. So we had a future festival planning report from Mike Sullivan. He's not here to answer questions. Was there anything anybody wanted to discuss amongst ourselves about that? Okay. Sounds like no. I had submitted a report on the vendor discount program, so I have no questions about it. Does anyone else have questions they wanted to ask me about that?
I mean, it sounds like it's coming along pretty well to me.
It's slow, but it is moving, yeah.
Yeah. My experience with working with vendors on, I guess, the really old version of the vendor discount program is that I had to do most of the ad design myself. So that might explain some of that bottleneck that you're experiencing. I know that just looking at this, it says Dubay needs an ad. They have a woman in their office that does their own design. So if you've been talking to Brian, you might need to talk to somebody else.
So they are in transition on how they're doing their graphics, and that's why they don't have one.
Okay.
There's a few things like that. Like Cheryl at Sportco doesn't have an ad because she's hiring somebody and it's not done. And so I made an ad for her and said, would you be comfortable using this until you have your real one done? And we'll see what she says.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's absolutely true. A few of the people have ads because I helped make them with my incredible graphic skills.
Dave, is any point in going after the European manufacturers?
We tried. We reached out originally to about 40 vendors. So people that are on that list are the people that got back to us or the people that we actively chased. And there were a few European vendors like Play that we actively chased, and even that didn't work. Yeah, I'd like to have some, but so far it hasn't.
I know Neil Dunker just recently tried to contact Henry's because he's our European rep, and they were in Europe was the response, and they would get back with him when they returned, so I'm not sure if they did, and that would be just a reminder email from him.
Cool. Yeah, because that's another one that I specifically went after and just never heard a word back. So
never heard
maybe
back.
Neil's
so,
but yeah, I like the idea. It's just so far it hasn't worked out.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, Lloyd, you've got good connections over there.
Just stuck there a long time, that's all.
Yeah, totally. That's cool, though.
Okay. Anybody else have anything on that subject? Okay. Now we're rolling.
Nope.
So the job descriptions, I did not have time to – I mean, they've come in from a bunch of people, so thank you for all the work that's being done, but I didn't have time to put them all in one place so we could look at them. If anybody has the bandwidth to take that on, that would be appreciated because I still have a big backlog of things for IJA business that I'm not getting done, so I'd rather not take that on myself if possible.
Yeah, I've been getting them in my email, and I've been putting them up onto the board platform as they come in, too. There's a zip file up there and a couple of other ones, too, I believe. But I haven't had much time to do anything other than just sort of proofread them and convert them into a PDF. So if somebody else has that time, that would be great.
Yeah, and
how many?
In the...
Sorry, this is Scott. How many are there?
Let me see. I don't have an exact number off the top of my head, but I believe I'm just going to open the file right now. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen so far, I believe. Let's see. Maybe it's exactly a dozen. Maybe that'd be incredible. Yeah, we have 14 so far. That includes one that I just got today, which one that is, I'm not entirely sure. I got the archive director from Alan Howard. That's the most recent one. So 14 so far, and we're missing a couple too. And that's in the board plus thing. I want to say we're missing about 10 or so, and one of those is mine. So.
And one of those is mine.
Yeah.
Yep. And I have a few. So.
Did you say 13 or 14?
We have 14 so far. 1-4.
Okay.
It feels like ballpark we have about half of them.
Yeah, a little over half. I mean, and two of the ones that we have need some pretty major restructuring, like the Canadian rep one
right.
Basically just said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And same with Neil. We need to try and figure out what we're doing there.
Right. In fact, I thought last meeting we had decided that those really didn't even need to be positions, that Aaron was going to define just an international liaison and those would fall
and
into that.
And then we're going to work on that actual role development over the next few months.
Yeah, so I think once we get a better sense of where we're going to be going as an organization over this next year, as that develops, then the role of those positions will develop as well.
Exactly, yeah.
So.
And just looking, if we bring in other international reps as well, looking at what that would.
Yes.
This is Scott again. Since we're starting to use Google Docs more often, should we just put them up there? And if so, that's a pretty easy thing to do, and I can do that.
That would be great. In fact, I got as far as making a folder there to hold all the job descriptions. I just didn't get as far as putting any of them in it. So, that would be wonderful.
Awesome.
Oh, sure. Tom, if you could forward those over to me at my Gmail address, I can take care of them.
Okay.
Right. And any ones you get in the future as well, just send them on over.
Excellent.
What is your address, real quick?
K-R-A-U-S-E-E. Oh, man, I forgot what it is. I get it mixed up with my address at work.
Krause@gmail.com.
You got it.
Okay. And
cool, thanks, Scott.
So just a reminder that Kim, Scott, Tom, Aaron, Lloyd, and myself all had one or more to do, so any of us who still have ones that aren't done, just keep that on your list somewhere and get them to Scott when we can.
Yep.
Okay. Aaron sent us an education report. Go, Aaron. I only had one comment on it, which I think we've discussed, but I would just reiterate that whenever we figure out how to spend the YEP money, it always makes me a little uneasy if it ends up being that we're paying people who are part of YEP to do YEP stuff.
Right.
Just because especially when we're such a small community, it can be very easy that people running YEP are deciding to take YEP's money and give it to themselves. So the more that the YEP money is going to things like props and publicity, like the flyers or posters or whatever, that is all pretty easy for me to justify. And as soon as it starts going to individual people to pay them, it gets touchy in a hurry.
Okay.
Right.
But other than that, that was the only comment I had. Thank
you. Okay. Yeah, and I guess some of the original plan, that shifted a lot because we were spending most of the money to pay people in the beginning. And that shifted to them pretty much self-running their organizations with our support, external support. And then just the incentives program was an idea that came up last year to help people get into the schools, because a lot of schools can't afford to pay the jugglers to go in and do assemblies, just an incentive to go in and really expose more kids to it. So, yeah, that can be discussed as to whether or not that's a benefit. It was only used by one group this last year, but we didn't have a whole lot of active groups that were doing assembly-type things. So, yeah, that can be discussed.
I mean, it also, some of the cloudiness clears up if the people that we're paying to do it are not part of the organizing power behind it yet, but so if we start paying ourselves, that
totally
kind of dodgy. So.
Yeah. Yep, I hear that. And, yeah, and for the most part, yeah, it's, me, Kim, or Kevin, none of us have benefited this past year from the funding. But.
You know, if we have extra money, it might be worthwhile to think about some sort of merchandise, small-scale merchandise, like those rubber bands, wristbands or something that you can give out to YEP reps and say, here, any kids that participate, give them this or YEP experience.
That's great, yeah, because it's, like, different than a T-shirt where the kid has to buy it and all that. It can just be something that YEP reps give, and they're fairly cheap for a lot. That's a great idea.
Right, it's small scale. Those can't cost that much. I'm guessing no more than $1 a piece, if that.
Right. And some other thoughts I've had is, like, with the YEP T-shirts, when we do get them printed, like, giving the YEP reps all free ones that they can wear when they're leading their programs or whatever, active YEP reps anyhow, and who are doing programming, would be cool.
Anything else for Aaron?
There's a really cool video, if nobody saw it, from the Props to You people in Cochabamba, Bolivia. I just received a bunch of props. It's on YouTube now, on the IJ YouTube page, and it's just really cool documentation of them using the props that they received, and shows their skills and stuff. So folks should check it out if you haven't seen it.
Cool. We did not get a website report from Mike this time around, which is probably because he's traveling. We did get a marketing report from Tom, so hopefully people got to read that.
Can we just check in really quick about website? Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Really quick thing. Just I know the last time we'd left off, and it's been where we've left off for a while now, it was that we were trying to get the information Iwi wanted to Iwi, and I wasn't sure if he'd gotten that information. And then I know, Kim, you had said there was just no response, I think, that you'd sent it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send it. I've sent it twice now. I'll send it a third time. Because I also had sent information with that, letting Iwi know that Dave is now chairman. This is my last year on the board, so I want to make sure he realizes that I won't
be passed off.
Be around, so I need to pass the torch to someone.
And it was great, I think, that it's supposed to be the chairman who's the contact with Iwi. Yeah, and also because we had talked about the IRCs potentially using 500 of the YEP thing. I know I'm going to need to know the answer on that soon. And I
right.
We did it last year, so I don't see why it's going to be a problem this year. I know I'd rather have it respond.
Well, and it was for Afghanistan, that program.
Right.
So it was a little different. But, yeah, I would think he would support it. And I know he gave money towards the Afghanistan thing on top of the 500 last year and was excited about that. So I think it would be helpful. I need to order the medals and the program materials soon to get them to Brazil and stuff in time.
Right.
Yep. I mean, my guess is, I'm with you, and that my guess is he won't mind, but I would hate to be wrong. So hopefully he'll
see
us and we can get a firm answer from
him. So if we could, just check in with him and make sure.
I'll send out another email first thing in the morning.
Sweet. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Cool.
Okay. Marketing, Tom, thanks for the report. You had mentioned in there that some of the ideas you had were probably going to cost like $100 for printing. That certainly seemed reasonable.
Yeah, it's just one little thing. I guess I don't know how many of you guys follow NPR on Facebook or on Twitter or anything. They have this photo campaign called I Love NPR, where they just get pictures of famous people that come in for interviews holding a little card that says I Love NPR. And I was thinking, especially since Aaron is going off to South America, it might be a good way to get more followers by taking some pictures of people holding something like that. It would be like I Love IJ or I, a little picture of Diablo, IJ, I Club IJ, something like that. It would be pretty cheap, and I think it would be a nice way to interact more directly with some of the people within the community that we're either part of or that we are courting and hoping to turn into paying members. It'll be pretty cheap. I just need to get them printed on hard card stock. And I'd like to get some sent out to Niels, too, so when he goes out to European conventions, he could take some pictures. But I think it would be pretty low cost, and it would be interesting to see what happens. And it should just be a one-time cost unless a bunch of cards get destroyed somehow.
That was kind of my thinking. It seemed, I mean, we probably do need to spend something on marketing, and that seemed like at $100, that's the kind of price point where I'm like, yeah, we're going to need to do things like that once in a while to getting our name out there.
I guess in my conversation with Kim, and this is a slightly different thing, but I would like to see us starting to spend a little bit more money on marketing for the festival. If that just means, you know, paid Facebook ads or something that are targeted directly towards you know, not only jugglers, but also the spinners and burners and people that we're trying to get a hold of to come and expand our base. I think that would be money well spent, and that would also be pretty cheap. I know Aaron bought a promotional thing for the IJ recently.
Yeah.
Like
$100.
Yeah. For the T-shirt thing, yeah. But you also bought you promoted some post for, like, a Portuguese thing, right?
Yeah, there's this thing now where you can promote a specific post that you make on Facebook, and it, depending on how much you pay, it reaches that many more of your followers. And so I just decided to pay $10 on one, and it went from, like, 5 likes to, like, 85 likes in a couple of days. So it's just, it gets a lot more, and it got, like, 1,500 views or something crazy. So, yeah, and you can target who you want it to be directed at, too, like which countries and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, that goes a little bit beyond the scope of the I Love IJA thing and the small budget that asked for that. But I think that's something that we need to seriously consider for the festival, and also I'd probably like to do it for the video tutorial contest next year when that's getting off the ground. So, yeah, just a way to get seen by more people.
Yep.
But does anyone have any questions about any of the other stuff in this report? I guess it really only had stuff to do with the video tutorial contest for next year. I'd like to transition to a new voting system for that. That might mean that we have to switch to a paid system. So when I do some research about that, I will find out more. Just all the free services that we've used in the past have gone down and caused me, they've caused me a lot more hours of stressing over this than I guess I would really like to. But I'm sure there's a low-cost option for that. And if anybody has any idea for people, for judges, for next year's judging panel, I would love to hear those so I can start approaching people in the next couple of months. That's it for me.
Okay. Marilyn submitted membership numbers to us. I don't believe Marilyn's on the phone with us tonight either, correct? Yeah, the only question I had for her, I'd be really curious to hear what exactly happened with membership when we released the West video. My hunch is it's not quite what at least I was hoping for. I think it did get us.
I actually did write her, and I know the answer to that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it brought in a lot of renewals. And we don't know because Martin sent out two different emails, announcing the low income and the West. Or the lower cost and the West video in one. So I think a mixture of the two brought in those. But it was like 25 total and only 4 new members.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, it certainly isn't bad, but it's a little disappointing. Maybe I forget who said this, but maybe we'll find that if we start doing a steady stream of these, that it's more effective.
And that's kind of, I think, mine and Tom's both philosophy is if that's the first one, and, like, I got a message from somebody who's been a past member who's like, it's going to take more than a West video to get my $30, so let's give them more and see if that works, you know, and to start building this repertoire of really cool videos where after five are released, people are like, oh, my God, that's so worth $30, you know.
Yeah.
And then same thing, like going to South America with a thing saying join the IJA membership, receive access to exclusive videos by Wes Peden, Anthony Gatto. Now we have we're getting some from Satoshi Eto, the winner of the IJA. It's going to look better than just if we had one name or two names or something like that.
Yeah, and when Aaron, when you're going down to the IRCs, you're also going to be filming stuff or getting filming or
And we're going to make that members only content.
Yeah.
Filming up the competitions down there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, by the end of the year, we should have a substantial amount of members-only stuff. So I think the West videos turn some heads, but it'll take a little bit more provoking to get them to, you know, turn to their wallets.
Yeah, I think if we broaden the scope to cover things like Aaron getting videos in South America, it may help, because part of the trick is I had originally thought that Scott spoke to Wes and just got Wes to be a good guy and make this video. He actually paid him a decent amount of money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out of E-Juggle's budget, so it's fine. I don't object that he did it. But if we said all we have to do every year is put out one of those videos every quarter and each one of them is going to cost us $700, that's $2,800. We have to get an awful lot of people to join before that was paying for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might have to do it anyway for other reasons, but it stops being an effective means of generating membership if we have to spend that kind of money on it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a tipping point that we're going to discover at some point. You know, like once we have five really quality videos, you know, what is a, like Wes's old videos cost, what, like $15 or $20 a piece?
Right.
So once we reach something that, you know, once the value is created there or is seen or whatever, I think we're going to be in a good place.
Memberships that come in go through my email. I see them, and I would guess that we've had maybe 6 to 8 new members, maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 new members and 3 or 4 returning members from a while before. I've seen a few names show up that haven't been members, but it's, you know, I would guess that we've been less than 10. As was said, it's hard to tell because people who renewed just after my email reminder that their membership was expiring may have renewed, you know, regardless of the Wes Peden video. And, I mean, most likely would have, since we didn't really get that much reaction to it, as far as I could tell, from new members. So I don't think we got a lot of reaction. I think the amount we paid, you know, is not going to be recouped on this video, but you know, maybe we can do this for less in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Wes is going to be on the high end of people, you know,
yeah,
to begin with.
That's true.
Like if we reach like Coke Petit or somebody, I would imagine we could get him for a little bit cheaper.
For way cheaper. Yeah, and a lot of people, there's quality people who will do it for cheaper. A lot of people have said they'll make videos without even mentioning payment, and then when we say, hey, you get a stipend too, they're like, really cool. And it's a much smaller stipend for most of the video creation. It's $20 for the first minute and then like $10 per minute after that for most videos. So
also I think if we promote, you know, a video, we should promote the video, not the person. All we did with this one, as far as I could see, was we promoted Wes Peden, and nobody wrote what the video was about. It was just about him.
Did we have the link to the trailer?
There's a link to the trailer, but you know, if you don't tell people, if you don't give some people a hint what it's about, they're not going to watch.
Sweet. You know, good suggestion.
I watched,
but
I must not have.
Totally.
So at least describe the video. You know, make a review of it and explain why it's worthwhile watching. I mean, we can still do this and sell memberships as a result, but we need an actual review. And I don't mean something that's unsincere, that's unauthentic, but something that actually explains what he's doing. I don't think it's going to give away the surprise of, you know, if you say that he juggles so many clubs or so many whatever. But, I mean, you don't have to run through the whole routine. But give some description of it so those people who are interested in, let's say, technical juggling or whatever, would go to it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
Though I'm kind of with Aaron. The trailer doesn't serve that purpose?
Yeah, I thought the trailer served that purpose, but for the email specifically, I don't know that it would have, and I like that for the email. The trailer, I think, got a lot of attention, and so that's interesting to look at. Why did the trailer get so much attention and so much, like, oh, my God, I can't wait, and then we didn't get a whole lot of response after that. It's just looking at that dynamic, too.
Yeah, the trailer got...
Watch the trailer?
Yes. There were over 6,000 people.
Yeah. So it did get us a lot of hype, and that's what we talked about, is it got us hype and it got the word out there that we're doing stuff and we're trying to improve the membership benefits, but it's a process.
But the trailer is just on YouTube, right? It's open.
Yeah.
Anybody? So YouTube itself provides much of that publicity, right? You know, if you watch another video on YouTube and it's about juggling, there's a search, automatic search feature, basically. YouTube is likely to show them that one as an option. So just having a trailer on YouTube will get a lot. You know, having anything on YouTube will get, you know, videos, people to watch.
Some of them, yeah. A lot of our videos don't. That's one of our highest viewed videos since we've started doing eJuggle. It is our highest viewed video.
That's
been promoted through eJuggle. So that's why it's such a big difference. Most of them around 1,000 to 2,000, and that one jumped up to 6,000 pretty quick. So that's why it got kind of more views than general. But
yeah.
Do we know the number
part of that is that they got a... Sorry.
Do you know the number of views of the actual video, of the full video?
300 to 400.
300 to 400?
Yeah. So that's what I was saying, is we've got to look at the dynamic. Why did that get, you know, and it is, it's public, and so people got a taste for free. So that's just something to look at for the future.
Well, 300 to 400 is, you know, fairly respectable since we have only 1,000-ish members or 1,100.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's the best viewed members only video yet. The other two were Anthony Gatto practice videos, and they haven't gotten nearly as many views as that one. So
The Gatto practice videos weren't very well advertised, though, at all.
And it was right at the beginning of our existence, so nobody really knew how to get on or anything.
Yeah, I think it forced the issue of making a lot of people log on who hadn't bothered to before, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, if those, you know, half of those 500 people that watched the full video, you know, had to learn how to log in on the first time, they're guaranteed, or, you know, there's a greater likelihood of them logging on to watch another video that we put out later on. So I feel like those numbers are going to go up just by the nature of, you know, our newness.
Yep.
There's a product of that.
Okay. Unless anybody has anything else pressing, we can move on. Okay. Per the motion we did a couple months ago, Holly sent us financial data of all our expenses from the beginning of the year. That was just to help us catch up on all the stuff we had missed. Holly's not here to answer questions people might have had, but I would definitely encourage people to take a look. And if you have questions about it, definitely ask her, because I think it's worthwhile for us to have a little better feel for where our money's going and why it's going there. Unless anyone has anything else they want to say on that, we can move on. But yeah, okay. So those were all our reports. We did have a couple of motions for today. The first one was motion to approve our very own Scott Krause as IJA treasurer. Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Tom Wall. And
I'll second.
All right, who was that who seconded?
Kim.
Kim, thank you. Okay. Discussion.
Thank you, Scott.
Yay, Scott.
Woo. Scott.
I just want to let you guys know that I've already started looking into how to do nonprofit bookkeeping, as well as looking into the financials. So I'm on my way, and I'll probably have something to or a report for next week or for next month, and maybe we'll see.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, I think it'll really – we're overdue to have somebody really kind of diving into this and doing it right. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, we can move to the vote. Does anyone disapprove of this motion? Would anyone like to abstain?
This is Scott. Do I have to abstain on this vote?
It's sort of proper.
Oh, yes. Then I would like to abstain for this.
Okay. Then the motion passes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Scott.
Yeah, way to go, Scott.
Congrats and thanks.
Just so the board knows, Dave and I had discussed that being a holder of one of our debit cards.
Right.
I will need these minutes, Sandy, as soon as possible. But the bank requires the minutes showing he was approved with your signature on it. So I can send you my fax number. And if you could fax me a signed copy of these minutes, that would be great.
Yeah, no problem. I can actually have them to you in a day or two.
That's fine.
Yeah, go ahead and email me that fax number, and I'll give these to you promptly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Our next motion was the motion to approve Warren Hammond as the Fund Chair for the 2013 festival. And
I'd like to
make appoint a group of lunches. Oh, wow. Tom is excited about
I'll this. Second. It's
yeah, dude. I have nothing but faith in Warren Hammond. He has been.
He's the up with you people. Yeah, having served on a fun committee with Warren, I think it's perfect. He's
Having lived with him for a year and a half, I think he's perfect too.
Yeah.
He actually came to me at the fest and said for 2013 he'd love to be the chair. So he and I have already had several discussions.
That's
so
funny because he told me a different story. He said, you approached him and said, I would like you to be the chair.
Well, maybe it was that way, but we were both on the same wavelength. So
that's good.
I was a little tired. I don't remember. But I know
you did approach him. Good work. Good work.
Well, and we already talked about some really fun, incredible stuff. So, yeah.
Great. Okay, unless there's anything else anyone really wants to say, we can move on to the vote. Does anyone object to this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Congratulations, Warren.
Yay.
Okay. Our next motion was to approve Jack Kelly as the Awards Committee Chairman for the 2013 Festival. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion. That's Kim.
Would anyone like to second it?
I'll second.
Okay. That will just make it easier. We can worry about the question later of whether I can second things. I imagine I can, but okay.
Mm.
Discussion-wise,
has Jack been involved in this committee in the past?
Jack has been involved with this committee in the past, yes. When Bob Newman was chair, and he's also made several recommendations for awards over the past few years.
Yeah, having worked on Fund with Jack, he certainly was somebody that we were able to count on. He followed through on his commitments and so on, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
And he actually just sent me an email today asking if I could get him a list of those who were on the committee last year and the year before. He doesn't remember everyone who was on with him, so he can start contacting people. So he's already thinking about this and taking it very seriously.
Cool. Okay. If there's no more discussion, we can move on to the vote. Does anyone object to this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. This motion also passes unanimously. And that was all our motions.
Dave, before we move out of motions, I just have a question. Do we need a motion to approve that added tier of fest registration, that early holiday tier? I don't know if that needs to be a motion or not.
I feel like this is part of your plan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because somewhere in the last few months I went reading the bylaws hoping for more guidance on what it is we do and don't have to approve as a motion, and it was not to be found. So.
Yeah. Sam, I think that's probably as chairman, that's as chairperson, that's your call. And
that's your call, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're actually talking about, but if it's a significant change, something, there's no reason not to make a motion. That makes it very clear that the board supports it, whatever it is.
Well, actually, should the entire FEST budget be a motion to be approved? Should the entire FEST budget be approved like it was last year?
Yes.
That's a separate issue.
If the budget is approved, then that new tier would automatically be part of that.
Not necessarily. I don't know what the change represents, but the change,
Martin, is just to open up an even earlier registration time before early bird. It would be a called holiday, so we'd actually be opening up registration November 15th through January 15th.
You're saying we would have three prices?
You'd have holiday, early bird, regular, and then at the fest.
Okay, so four prices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that the board ever approved the current scheme, but it doesn't hurt for the board to approve that if they like it. I still suggest that you have the board vote on it. It doesn't hurt to approve it.
Right.
And if the board approves it, then it does state something that they don't want it.
We did approve last year's fest budget, so if you feel it's a motion, I would think we should approve this one, or at least make it a motion so that if you guys feel it needs tweaking, I'll tweak it. But I didn't think of putting that motion on for this week.
Yeah, my take on that would be I do think that approving the fest budget is a great thing to have as a motion. For me personally, I'd feel more comfortable, unless it's blocking you now, I would feel more comfortable trying to get that done next month just because there was a lot to read, and there were certainly some questions I had for you that I decided I didn't need to waste everybody else's time with. But
that's fine.
Does that work for me?
Yeah, I'm not going to be spending any money until after registration opens, so that's all cool.
Okay. So, yeah, let's plan on doing that next month. Okay. So that brings us to Varia. And here, mostly what I did here is I kind of like what we did this past month and that we had that thread that sat there for most of the month on the board where we could just throw in things that we wanted to make sure got touched on in the meeting. So here I just kind of put other things that were mentioned in there in case we wanted to discuss them. But I don't think we're really obligated to discuss any of them necessarily. So I had put in a post there about what happened recently with e-juggle advertising. If you have questions about that, I'm happy to answer them. One of the takeaways is it would be really nice if we could find somebody to really focus on that role. So if any of you think you know somebody who might be interested in that, please have them speak up.
I could look into it a little bit. This is Nathan Wakefield.
Cool. That would be great. Actually, in one moment, I can tell you how that ad is doing. I know the click-through rate is pretty low, but they're getting quite a few views out of it, the St. Louis ad that we put up for them.
I looked at it earlier.
Yeah, I keep getting these confused. It's crazy. Yes, the Kansas City Festival. Yeah, so far we've shown their ad 667 times.
On e-juggle?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's on article pages.
Oh, cool.
There's a couple of articles, like the West video, where the page is so wide we can't put a sidebar on it. But most articles have their ad, and they've gotten, of those 667 views, they've gotten 8 clicks.
And did they, pay for that, or was that a...
No, that was the report I put in the thread. I mean, they volunteered to pay for it, months ago, but time Scott and I were done discussing... what it would look like to have somebody pay for it and how they would have to pay for it, and then working through the technical complications of that for a while. It wasn't really working right. We finally got it sorted out like a week ago. And so then a week ago we said, well, how about if we just put up your ad for a week for free? And they said, oh, well, by now I don't know if we have time to make an ad. So Tom made them an ad, and we put it up there. And in exchange, we sent them the Join the IJA flyers, and they're going to print those out and hand them out at their fest. So
yep. Nice. Do we have Join the IJA flyers?
The ones that he made in association with the Heptad release and the price drop.
Okay. Yeah, just the, like the feel-good propaganda, IJA, social benefit.
Cool.
Right. So that seemed good, because the other side benefit of that is it gave us this proof of concept that we were able to get an ad up on the site and see the link tracking work and so on and so forth. So that gets us to this point of, oh, I think we really could sell ads. So
that's a great idea for us to distribute those flyers, too. Just want to say.
Yeah. You like
it? Yeah. Great idea.
So I don't know if anyone's going to actually be there to see if they do it, but they seem very friendly and excited despite the fact that we weren't able to take their money for months. They were still very supportive. So.
Yeah, I know a bunch of those guys pretty well, so I can ask around and see if they're actually being distributed very much.
Okay, there are a couple other things I put in the VARI that kind of go together. Martin had followed up with our named positions and officers to see who wanted to continue. Thank you for doing that, Martin. And I had noted there were a couple here that said they weren't going to continue. Now, Sandy not continuing as a merchandise distributor doesn't really matter because we already have someone else doing that, so that's easy. Scott, as eJuggles editor, talking to him recently, he didn't sound like he was looking to step away from that, but it's a good thing to keep in mind because it's a very important position at this point. And if he did decide he wanted to step away, we'd really need somebody willing to put
Yeah, that was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Did he set a reason?
He didn't. The quote that Martin gave us was, I'll commit until the end of the year. I'll probably continue beyond if nobody else steps forward. But I can talk to him about it and see if it's something he's actively hoping somebody steps forward. So, another one in there is that Martin didn't get a response from Taylor Glenn. So if anybody's...
It would probably be good to send an email to a different
I'll text her. I have her cell phone number. I'll text her.
Cool.
Yeah, she started an internship in L.A. It was either this week or last week, so I wouldn't be surprised if she's way too busy to think about other things.
Yeah, with like CNN or something like that.
Yeah.
So we might want to look for a new video coordinator.
Yeah. So the one that's left there, which is another item in its own right, is Greg Phillips no longer being an affiliates director. And Lloyd had some thoughts that he'd posted about an affiliates program, and if we have one, what is it, and how does it work, and why do we have it, and what are the goals, and so on and so forth. So,
well, Dave, this interests me because some years ago I wrote and said that we ought to, you know, work through the affiliates more. And when I did that, it was sort of naive. I wasn't sure what affiliates program we have, and I'm still not sure because Greg let me know he hadn't been active with it for a while. And then I talked to Rick Purty, who had done it before Greg, and he had some good ideas that Tom responded to. So I'm willing to keep sort of messing around the edges of this, and I'm interested in the function, but I do think we have to decide whether we see ourselves as an organization that is in the center of a number of affiliates, and that's a major function, et cetera. Otherwise, we can't write a job description. We can't look for somebody to fill the role until we've decided as a board what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually, when we were in Winston-Salem, I sat down and I talked to Noel Yee for quite a while about the business he's running fire festivals and how that works and how he pulls so many people. And one of the things I took away from that was, I mean, he doesn't even really have an organization per se, but he leans heavily on the existence of local clubs.
Right.
And he's very in touch with them, and they do work for him, and he rewards them accordingly. And that's a lot of how he gets the traction he does across the country, is he's working very closely with clubs. which I think we're not doing very effectively right now.
Right.
I sort of think we should, but put me in touch with Noel, and I'll follow up with him and get some details. Because, like I say, I do want to push on with this, but we'll need to have a board discussion at some point.
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, I will also get you his information, and I'll do kind of an intro so that he knows who you are and what you guys are talking about.
Yep.
I'm just making a note for myself to do that. Okay. Okay. I think it's a big topic. We could have a whole meeting discussing that. So unless there's more that people want to talk about, we can, you know, right now we can move on.
Yeah. I think it's a nice idea that we can flesh out a little bit more on the Board Plus forum.
Yeah, I think that's a very appropriate way to pursue it. Okay. I had also put in a note about the Board of Directors insurance. I renewed that today. So, Kim, you can stop sweating. That is done. we renew it about this time every year. I just wanted to make sure, especially the new folks are in the loop, because I wasn't even completely clear on this until it came time to renew it. And, Kim, correct me if I got this wrong, but I believe right now basically the purpose it serves is it covers each of us for $1 million in liability if we were to get sued. So on and so forth. But one of the questions that came up was, for most people, that's perfectly fine. But if there's anyone on the board that is concerned that being covered for $1 million in liability is insufficient, then they're welcome to contact me so we can discuss, because we could certainly raise that, but it will cost us money. So
that is correct. And the million is basically personal assets as well as lawyer fees.
And this is Sandy, and I just wanted to add that for the new members of the board, this is significant because we have been sued twice in the last, 7 years? Yeah. And
probably 8 to 10 years, yeah.
And one person who was involved in one of the lawsuits who was, it was all the board members plus some, and some of those extra people were not covered under this insurance, and it ended up costing her about $7,000 to cover herself. So this is really important to be covered by insurance, and there's a hefty reason for it.
Yep. So the good news is the insurance is there, and we're covered, and that's great. But if you look at your personal situation or concerned that $1 million in coverage is insufficient, then contact me and we can figure out what we want to do about that, because we do want to make sure everybody is comfortable and covered, but we also don't want to spend money unnecessarily. So that's that. Is there anything else anyone would like to throw into Vario while we're all on the phone?
I just realized that we didn't approve the I Love IJ printing thing. I didn't actually ask that as a motion, but I would like to, if that's okay with everybody. Just having a budget approved for that so I can go ahead with the printing and get stuff to Erin for the IRCs before she actually leaves.
I think we can do that, and if people aren't comfortable with it, then they will abstain or object. So I think it's fine to back up and do a motion at this point, unless any of you people with more parliamentary experience than me know otherwise.
We've done it before.
Yeah, I think it just makes practical sense if we only meet once a month. Okay, so first we'll need to word this motion.
I guess allocate up to $150 for printing and shipping of materials for this campaign.
Shipping for materials related to...
Sorry, repeat that again, to allocate up to $100?
$150. I'm not entirely sure how much it would cost to send something to Niels, assuming that he would be okay with that. It'll be cheaper in the long run to get this stuff printed as one big lot now than it would be to do a second lot later on.
Okay, so but could you reword that? To allocate up $150 for what?
Here's what I jotted it down. I had printing and shipping for materials related to an iHeart IJA marketing campaign. Does that sound good, Tom?
Sounds great. Sounds perfect.
You got it, Sandy? Okay.
Yep.
Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make that if that's okay.
I'll second.
Is that you, Tom?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Okay, I think it's fine. Would anyone like to second it?
I'll second it.
Was that Lloyd?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Okay. We discussed a little earlier, but it's open for discussion. Is there anything anyone wants to say or ask?
Yeah, I guess on the motion I'm saying 150 instead of 100 just because I'm not sure how much it will cost to ship. I certainly anticipate, right, certainly plan on making this as inexpensive as possible to the organization.
Is there any chance that shipping to Europe might be cheaper to print in Europe? Is that something you're going to explore with this?
Yeah, I'll explore that, absolutely.
Okay.
And I found European shipping, because I've been shipping about T-shirts lately, is relatively inexpensive with United Postal Service. It was only like $10 for a T-shirt to England.
Yeah, so I'll take a look. I'm planning on having this print on some pretty heavy cardstock, so we'll see where we are. But I'll use my due diligence to explore all the options.
Anything else? Okay, we will bring it up for vote. Does anyone object to this motion? Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Okay, it passes unanimously. Thank you, Tom.
Cool, thank you guys so much.
Okay, so having already been through Varia, did anyone else have anything they wanted to discuss in Varia? Okay. All right, then we need to set our next meeting, which would typically be a Wednesday in September at 5:30 Pacific time. The obvious thing would be to have it on either the 12th or the 19th. So let's say the 12th and see who cries. Suppose we propose the 12th of September at 5:30.
I'm going to be traveling on the 12th. Okay. At least I believe I will be traveling unless some other stuff pulls through. But I should be on the West Coast around 5:30, so that ought to work for me.
Okay.
Maybe, I hope.
Does anyone have any conflict with the 12th then? Okay, we'll plan to have it on the 12th. Thank you. 12th. All right. And that brings us to our favorite part of the meeting, where we adjourn. Would anyone like to make that motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
Okay. We figured out we don't need to second it. Is there anything anyone needs to discuss about this before we vote? Okay. Does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. It is unanimously approved. The meeting has been adjourned at 6:50 Pacific time. Not too bad.
Well done.
Yay. Well,
thank you very much, everyone. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think it really makes for a much more productive meeting that we had reports ahead of time and could just discuss them rather than reading them. That was great.
So, I'd like to second that.
Yeah.
Let's try to keep that tradition going.
Yeah.
All right. Good talking to you all as always. And
have a good night, everyone. Good night.
Bye.
Ciao.
See you later.
Ciao.
Bye.